From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. Sponsored by the Trade Commission of Spain in Chicago. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Jose Maria Fernandez Susafaro, President of the Spanish Association of Bioenterprises and Chairman of the Zeltia Group, is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about biotechnology in Spain.
Dr. Jose Maria Fernandez Susafaro is the Chairman of the Zeltia Group, which is the parent firm of a Spanish group of companies working in the biotechnology and consumer chemicals industries. He's also the president of the Spanish Association of Bioenterprises. Dr. Fernandez, thank you for joining us today to talk about biotechnology in Spain. But first, please tell us about your background in the sciences. What was your area of study, and how did you get involved with the Spanish life science industry?
I did study chemistry here in Madrid Complutense University. Then I did my PhD in biochemistry. Then I stay at university teaching biochemistry and molecular biology, organic chemistry for nearly 14 years. And I became full professor at the Spanish University, full professor of biochemistry. Then I decided to leave university. I got an offer from the number one pharma company at that time in Spain that was called Antibióticos. That no longer exists. But at that moment was the number one pharma company. And I was appointed as research director and also as a member of the board. Then that company was bought by an Italian group, Farmitalia, that later merged with Farmacia. And then bought and bought and bought again. Today should be Pfizer, but that company does no longer exist. And then I was appointed as chairman of Zeltia. Zeltia today has 70 years old, so it's a company that existed since 1939. I was appointed as chairman of Zeltia in the late 80s. And when I joined Zeltia, I decided to, with my scientific background, to invest in biotechnology. On the early 80s, United States gave us the example, on biotech with Genentech, Amgen, Genzyme, Biogen, and all these companies that have been a success. So we decided, in Zeltia to follow this path. And so when I became chairman of Zeltia, the first thing I did was to found PharmaMar. And in PharmaMar, we knew that it was going to be very difficult to compete with the big pharmas doing the same thing they were doing. So we decided to take risks and to do the things differently. And the first thing we did differently was to look at medicines from the sea, from the oceans. Why? Well, nature has shown us how excellent medicines can provide. Everybody knows penicillin, everybody knows aspirin, acetyl salicylic acid, and on the cancer field, Taxol, Topotecan, Vincristine, Doxorubicin, Bleomycin, Mitomycin. So it's a large collection of natural drugs, but all coming from terrestrial sources, roots of plants, leaves of plants, soil bacteria, fungi, known from marine organisms. And taking in account that 80% of the living species of our planet are of marine origin, there was no reason to think that in the oceans we could not find also excellent medicines. So with this strategy and this rationale, taking risks because the proof of concept was not there, we started PharmaMar. Today, PharmaMar, I think we have proven the success of this strategy because PharmaMar has been able to register the first marine anti-tumor drug that has been registered already in Europe in 2007 for treatment of soft tissue sarcoma, and then late last year in 2009 also for ovarian cancer. And it's being commercialized in Europe now for these indications. And gradually, in other countries of the world, where we have licensed the drug to Johnson & Johnson, Orthobiotech is the company that belongs to Johnson & Johnson. Now, it's been approved in nearly 60 countries all over the world. And gradually, as they have been filing in many other countries, it should be approved in most territories. So, following this strategy, the registration of the first drug called Yondelis coming from a marine invertebrate, we have now the proof of concept, and we have also other four compounds in clinical trials, also of marine origin, and we think the best is still to come because we did this without the proof of concept, without experience, without money. Now we have the proof of concept there, we have experience, and we are going to have money with the sales of Yondelis. So the best is still to come, and we are more convinced now than ever to follow on this strategy.
I know that PharmaMar is part of the Zeltia group, and we're going to talk about that a little later. How important is the bioindustry to Spain's economy, and how would you compare the level of biotechnology development in Spain to other European countries?
Well, first of all, we in Europe lag behind what you have achieved in the United States, really. United States is the country for biotechnology. And Europe, I mean, should look at what you have done, but we lag behind. So, say that Spain in Europe is in very good situation. I mean, we have in the association where I am the chairman, the Spanish Association of Spanish Biotechnology Industries, we have 160 associates. And really, in the last 10 years, there has been a high growth of the sector in Spain. The last data we have is very good, but it's the data given by the Spanish Institute of Statistics. That last data comes from 2007. I'm afraid that years 2008 and 2009 with the crisis have slowed down this high growth that we had before. But nevertheless, I mean, in Spain, we are in quite a good position regarding other European countries with important biotechnology business.
Dr. Fernandez, you're the president of the Spanish Association of Bioenterprises, which has around 160 members. What types of biotechnology activities are these companies involved with?
Of the biotechnology companies, I think more than half of them are on what we call red biotech, so it's pharmacy, developing pharmaceutical compounds. We have also green biotechs developing, I mean, transgenic plants, etc. But on the red biotech industries, on the human health area, therapeutic areas where most focus is being done is cancer, anti-inflammatory agents, Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases, anti-infectious drugs. I think those are the, and also there are many companies working on diagnostic as well. So I would say those are the main activities, but really you can find also some companies, very interesting ones. For instance, there is a company that is in RNA of interference for therapeutic use that has a compound, a very interesting compound, finishing phase one clinical trials for glaucoma. And we have companies working on stem cells therapies that have compounds in phase two, about to enter phase three. So really, I wouldn't like to exclude nobody. I mean, really, you have quite a broad approach by the total of the companies involved in Sevio, no?
Is there a lot of collaboration between the academic and bioindustrial sectors in Spain? And if so, which universities in Spain have well-developed biotechnology programs?
There are quite a few universities that have collaborations with bioindustries. I would say all of the Madrid and Barcelona universities have strong collaborations. I would also name Navarra University and Basque Country universities. Universities in Sevilla is also doing well, and Valencia as well. I don't want to miss any. Santiago in northwest of Spain as well. So, yes, I mean, there is no exclusivity of one, two, or three. It's quite general. Also, I'm recalling now, León and Santander as well. So, really, there are many universities with programs of collaboration with bioindustries.
Now, Dr. Fernandez, you also wear another hat. You're the chairman of the Zeltier Group. What is the Zeltier Group, and what are its goals?
When I joined Zeltier already existed. I mean, it was founded in 1939, so last year Zeltier accomplished 70 years of existence. And I joined Zeltier in the late 80s, and Zeltier Group had been involved in chemistry business. Still, we in Zeltier keep the chemistry businesses because they have been cash cows in order to finance in Spain, where we didn't have the same tradition as you have in the States. And it was difficult to raise capital. I mean, as Genentech and Amgen did in the past in the States, in the Nasdaq, here it was going to be very difficult to, because we have a more conservative society and with less tradition to invest in R&D. So what I use to do in Zeltier is to help the newly born biotech companies from the chemical business that had been in Zeltier since the beginning, that were a mature business but cash cows with profits every year. And that allow, I mean, the initial steps of PharmaMar and the other biotech businesses. When I joined Zeltier, I started PharmaMar first with the strategy I commented before of trying to develop marine pharmaceuticals with focus on cancer. We have achieved the goal. I mean, after many years of development, we have put the first drug in the market from marine origin, comes from a marine invertebrate. It's an Ascidia notunicate called Tinascidia turbinata. We have been able to produce this compound by chemical synthesis. It works by a novel mechanism of action. That's another characteristic of our developments. In order to avoid competition with the big pharmas, we don't want to make just another tyrosine kinase inhibitor. You know, there is 105 in clinical trials now, and so it's going to be a strong competition in developing tyrosine kinase inhibitors for cancer. We only develop those potent marine compounds that we know that kill the cancer cell in a novel way. So we are not only discovering novel chemical entities, but we are also discovering new ways of killing a cancer cell. And Yondelis is a clear example of this, because the mechanism of action is different from any other drug in the market. Binds to the minor groove of the DNA, and is the first drug approved that is minor groove binder. And by binding to the minor groove, the drug becomes very, very much exposed, much, much more than it was binding to the major groove. And that makes the drug to interact. And in fact, what it does is traps a DNA binding protein that is an endonuclease called XPG. XPG is involved in transcription clearly and in DNA repair. So John Delis on one hand inhibits transcription and blocks the proper repair of the lesion, and also will serve us as a biomarker of response. So those patients with high levels of XPG are better responders. And also those patients with transactivated transcription factors, as is the case in certain soft tissue sarcomas that have translocations leading to transactivated transcription factors, are very sensitive to Yondelis. So that's the first example of our approach of discovering and developing a drug of marine origin and with novel mechanism of action. But the rest of the pipeline is the same thing. Aplidin, that is the second anti-tumor drug that we have in development that will enter phase 3 trials for certain hematological malignancies this year. It's again a novel chemical entity and works with a different mechanism of action than anything in the market. And the same for the other three that are in clinical trials.
I understand that the Zeltia group is composed of six companies. Four are working in the life sciences and two in consumer chemicals.
Yes.
Now, we talked about PharmaMar. Let's talk a bit more about the other three companies that are life science companies that are part of the Zeltia group. And these are Nocera, Genomica, and Silentis. What's the strategic mission of each of those companies?
Nocera is trying to develop novel therapies for Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. And again, trying to develop a compound that works differently than the drugs that are already marketed for Alzheimer's. As you know, for Alzheimer's, there are four drugs in the market, three acetylcholinesterase inhibitors and one that acts on the glutamate receptor. So what they do is to the remaining neurons that are continuously dying in those patients, they provoke more release of neurotransmitter, but the body adapts to the situation, and in any case, neurons continue to die, so really there is no cure in the market for Alzheimer's. We have followed a different approach. We are targeting one of the lesions that appears on the brains of Alzheimer's patients. It's inside of the neurons of those patients. It can be seen neurofibrillary tangles formed by the aggregation of a protein called tau. Then when it is hyperphosphorylated, forms these aggregates. And the enzyme that is responsible of most of this phosphorylation is called glycogen synthase kinase 3 beta. We have developed an inhibitor of that enzyme that is non-competitive with ATP by Michaelis Menting, and is potent, is in the nanomolar range, and is specific, although it also affects other kinases. But the kinase that has a longer half-life is glycogen synthase kinase 3 beta, and we have an irreversible inhibitor, so it's quite specific for GSK 3 beta. And this compound is already in phase 2 for Alzheimer's and also for another tauopathy that is called progressive supranuclear palsy. The studies are being conducted in Europe and in the States now, and for PSP, this second indication, we are going to convert the trial in a phase 3 trial because there is no treatment for PSP. That's Nostira. Then we have Genomica. Genomica is a diagnostic kits company, a small one, is in profits now. And then we have Silentis. Silentis is very interesting. It's a company that is developing therapies with the use of RNAs of interference. It's the company I was commenting earlier that has a compound ending phase 1 with good results for treatment of glaucoma, and that we will have a second indication in clinical trials possibly by end of this year, beginning of 2011. And we also aim to be in phase 2 for glaucoma before the end of the year with one of these RNAs of interference therapies. So those are the activities of the four biotech companies within Celtia Holding.
When you look at the Spanish biotechnology industry, what would you say are its main strengths?
We are taking risk. We have approaches that are not found elsewhere. For instance, PharmaMar is clearly the world leader in developing marine pharmaceuticals. We have the largest collection of marine samples. Our scuba divers are continuously catching marine invertebrates and other marine organisms all over the world. I mean, Indonesia, Madagascar, Tanzania, Red Sea, North Pole, Caribbean, Mediterranean, Persian Gulf, etc. And that's unique. I mean, there is no other company like PharmaMar. Then, on stem cell therapies, I mean, you have Celerix company that I don't think there are many companies with stem cell therapy approach. Then you have, I know there are other companies with RNAs of interference, but with compounds in clinical trials, there are not many. So really, we have a few examples of unique or quasi-unique approaches. No, some of them are risky, but sooner or later, I think we will find a way to be able to achieve their goals.
My last question is, when you look at the Spanish biotechnology industry, what do you think are the main challenges it still faces for it to move to the next level of development?
As a president of the Spanish Association of Bioindustries, I am trying to convince my colleagues, I mean the rest of the companies in the sector, that we are lagging behind of what you have in the States, is that the best way to finance, I mean, biotech companies that have a long-term development, because from the moment you discover a drug until you are able to put that drug in the market, it can pass 14, 15 years or whatever. So the best and possibly the only way to finance these companies is by being listed. And in that sense, we in Spain, we don't have many listed companies. So really, I am trying to convince the Spanish biotech companies that they should be putting an effort to go and to any stock market and being listed. We are in Celtia, so I know of the advantages of being listed, but I think that we should have more companies listed, because our biotech sector is good in terms of other parameters. But, for instance, in Great Britain, there is 26 or 30 companies listed. I mean, in Germany, nearly 20. In France, 16. In Switzerland, 14. And we have, I mean, if you take the European biotechnology news, that it's published every 2 months, and you check there which are the Spanish companies listed. Only two or three appear there. I mean, and that's not representative of the strength of our sector. So this is, for myself, a priority to convince the colleagues that they should be listed. I mean, that is important, to be listed for transparency, for visibility, for attracting investors, because one investor can be in a company for 3-4 years, and if the company is listed, they can go out and leave their position to another one that wants to be in the company for the next years because he believes that the company is doing well. So otherwise, difficult to get the finance. I mean, you cannot ask, I mean, someone to put the money today in your company, and in 15 years he maybe will, with luck, will have his money back. So this is, I think, the most important subject pending for the Spanish biotech sector. That's my opinion.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.